Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk. Great stuff as always from Jay Layman in the first hour. Gave great breakdowns in terms of what needs to happen going forward for the Illini to change course, have a chance to be competitive, and possibly pull the upset against Penn State. That was a very discouraging performance there Friday night, Kyle. We talked about it. We both throughout the offseason said that we felt like Kansas would win that game. I knew that Jalen Daniels, that receiving attack, was going to be problematic for Illinois. So the matchup on paper off the bat was troubling for Illinois' defense. I did not think Illinois would be underwhelming in the trenches once again, not being able to run the football. You were down 34-7 late third quarter. You just made it look a little bit more pretty in the box score by a couple of late scores, but you got dominated.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did. And that's the thing. Like, me and Lon both predicted a loss on Friday. We even predicted Kansas to be in the 30s scoring-wise, but it's just the manner in which you, from the first snap from scrimmage, got dominated in that game. You didn't have a chance. I mean, you go down 21-0 in the first half. You give up. We didn't even mention during the J hour that 41-second drive to end the first half.
Yes.
Where you actually finally get a little bit of momentum. Now, I know Kansas was going to get the ball out of halftime, but you let them go score a touchdown in 36 seconds to end the half. I mean, it's just that's like the Lovie Smith era type stuff. I mean, that's just what's disappointing about it. It's one thing if you're playing a high scoring game, even if the defense really struggles and Kansas comes out and Jalen Daniels is making a lot of the same plays he makes and they're in the 30s, but you're competitive, you're Luke Altmyer, the offense, you can run the ball all over a Kansas team that, as you said, was one of the worst rushing defenses in all of football last year. If that was a high scoring shootout competitive game, I mean, that's kind of what we predicted to happen, but Illinois never was in that game. And you even from the first couple drives, you thought, well, this one's probably going to get ugly, and it did. And you know, I give them credit for not folding over, losing the game 41-7, and actually showing a little bit of fight there at the end, and Luke Altmyer with that 72-yard run. But it doesn't change much, because at the end of the day, they got owned in that game, and that's troubling, because I expected, even with a loss on Friday night, to come back here and still be pretty confident. Like, it's a good Kansas team, it's a great offense, but the way you lost that game, you should not be getting dominated that thoroughly by a Kansas team that's not Texas, you know, from this weekend.
Yeah, it was a couple of late scores from being outright embarrassing, and I'm not saying that that even took that necessarily away. It was on a national stage that was supposed to be a huge swing game for Illinois, a three-point spread or whatever. I think it ended up landing on three, and it was a chance to really win one of those toss-ups as you think about, you know, what this season could potentially be. Weren't able to get it done. One of the bright spots was Luke Altmyer. I believe he's calling us right now, so I'm going to get him on the line. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line for the Luke Altmyer segment, which is brought to you by Brian Hansen, State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. By Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. By First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. And by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. We go to the phone line right now. Your Illini quarterback, Luke Altmyer. Luke, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Didn't turn out the way you guys wanted in Lawrence. As you look back, you were able to do some good things with your feet and making some throws too as well. And I know a lot of Illini fans are excited about what you've shown through the first 2 weeks. I'm sure as a quarterback, you're probably more just wanting team success and have some things to clean up on the whole. But let's start with that, Luke. How do you feel like you've played the first 2 weeks and what have you gained from that experience?
Yeah, I think there's always some positives and some negatives to look at, especially with it being my really first two starts, really solidified starts in college and in a new place. So, you know, I've been pleased with a few things, but I mean, I think I can do clean up some things to help our team win, especially against Kansas there. So, you know, I think I have to play better, honestly, to maximize our success, but I know I'll get there. I know I'll be able to clean up some of the mistakes and be able to settle in a little bit more. But, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed being out there so far with my guys.
It's a tough team to get in a hole against when Jalen Daniels and that Kansas offense, which can be pretty explosive, have things going like they did the other night. What do you think went into you guys not being able to start fast and kind of match them score for score?
Yeah, no, I think, credit goes out to Kansas. They did a great job. They put up points and were very physical, very fast, physical, played really hard. Not saying we didn't, but, they did a good job. They had a great game plan. They came out and played inspired, had a great atmosphere. Did a lot of things to, stop us in a way. But I think the main thing is we didn't execute on offense the way we know we can. And, I think that starts with me. And what I can do to help us win. And as a whole, there's something in a lot of the plays where, things aren't, cinched up the way that we know we can be. So credit goes out to them. They played hard. They played a great game and, disappointed, obviously. But, I know this team will learn from it and grow from it and, looking forward to, what we can do off of that going forward.
You were able to really have a big play with that 70-yard scamper, also ran in another touchdown later in the game. And we had heard about it when you first committed here and looking back at you as a prospect that, you had the ability to be athletic with your legs. How much is that something you want to continue to build on? Do you feel like Illinois can lean even a little bit heavier on you to make some more plays on the ground? And how did you see that 70-yard in particular open up and be able to pick your spot and go?
Yeah, I think I'm just thankful I can affect the game in that way for my team and being able to maximize our success, whatever that looks like, whether, I'm throwing the ball, sitting in the pocket or with my legs. So, I'm thankful I'm able to do that for our team. And, with that run, I saw they were in a man coverage and had their eyes obviously on the receivers in that man coverage and not many eyes were on me. So I was able to get out of there clean and, found a lane, found a lot of space and was able to kind of get away from there for a second. But, I'll do whatever is asked of me. If they want to, use more of my legs, then, I'll do that. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to shy away from it. I just want to win games. And I think as a whole, we got to play better. But, I think it's starting with me. I got to, clean some things up and play better for us to win.
Your Illini quarterback, Luke Altmyer, is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter at LukeAltmyer9. Luke, how do you feel like the team handled the end result there in Kansas on Friday night? And what's maybe been the response in the last few days? What are you hoping to see? And what was just kind of the locker room like after that game?
Yeah, obviously disappointed in our performance. We went in there very excited to play. I think we played hard, but we didn't necessarily execute the way we wanted to. So, that came with a lot of disappointment at the end of the game and throughout the day after a little bit, but, you know, that's to be expected, I think. But, you know, I think of guys that are, you know, very, very hungry and angry to get another opportunity to just get better throughout the week and be able to maximize our opportunities going forward. Because we know we have a great team. We have a great coaching staff. Coach V is phenomenal with us. He believes in us, and, you know, we sure believe in him. So we know we'll be able to move forward. And, you know, it's kind of a chip on our shoulder and a little bit of anger stirred up inside of us to, you know, one, play better, but and do whatever it takes to go get a win, whatever that looks like.
Luke, you guys got a great opponent coming to town this weekend in number 7 Penn State. What's the key for you guys to bounce back from this one and be able to move the ball effectively against a really talented defense?
Yeah, I think it's really to look internal, not you know, obviously prepare for those guys and have a great team, you know, obviously. And, you know, I think it's really about us to look internal to see what we can do to clean up from week one and week two to, you know, to maximize our performance going forward. And, you know, I think it's a group that's really confident still, regardless of our outcome against Kansas. Those guys really believe they've worked. We have worked incredibly hard throughout the year, the off season, and throughout camp. I think this is a team full of belief, and you know, we'll prepare as accordingly, do what we can, and you know, I think we'll be ready to go compete, you know, and put our best foot forward.
Luke, Barry Lunney mentioned today that you guys are still trying to find your identity offensively. What do you feel like that should look like, or what do you guys want that to look like going forward and starting with this weekend?
I mean, I think first of all, you know, we want to score points and we want to score effectively, you know, to help our defense out one, but to really maximize our chances of winning, you know, whether that's, you know, running the football like we, this program has done the past, or whether we maximize our weapons on the outside to put the ball in the air, whatever it looks like. Coach Lunney, like you said, I guess we're still figuring it out, and you know, we'll move forward and figure that out as we go. And that's the only way I think we can do it is to just keep finding out, and you know, obviously, hope to do that as quickly as we can, and to maximize whatever the identity is. But we have a lot of great players, a great offensive line, tight ends, running back room, and receiver room, a lot of talent, a lot of explosive ability. So, and a lot of guys who are very confident in each other. So, I think whatever they ask us to do as a coach staff, we're going to, you know, do it to the best of our ability.
A few more minutes here with Luke Altmaier. Luke, as a player, how do you look at a game when a top 10 team comes to town, nationally broadcast on Fox? Do you pay attention to that? Do you use that as maybe something that gets you up, or is it one where maybe you don't want to get too high or too low? How do you personally look at that opportunity? It's a big opportunity on your schedule. It's a big game, and it should have a pretty nice environment there at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. But for you personally, how do you look at that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the guys are excited, obviously, to have the opportunity. But, you know, for me, I try to stay pretty little, you know, not try to get too high or too low about, you know, whatever it may be, whatever team we're playing, whatever week it is. At the end of the day, you're going to go out there and play four quarters and play football. You know, offense going to line up, defense going to line up, 11 players are going to go out there, and, you know, we're going to put our best foot forward. But, you know, I try to control what I can control at the end of the day. I can't control the crowd, you know, what's around me, TV, none of that. I can't. But, I've seen, I guess, hungry to just get back out there and to put our best foot forward and to really grow from week one and week two to be better. Very, very excited to see that growth.
Well, Luke, we appreciate your time. Excited to have you here on a weekly basis. The U of I Line and League text line, we had a few weigh in and say, you know, how much they are excited about what you've shown so far and are really happy you made the decision to come here to Champaign. So best of luck on Saturday. We'll be watching, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
I appreciate it a lot.
All right, thank you so much. Thanks. Luke Altmaier, your Illini quarterback, joining us every Monday on the Tapman's Towing phone line. And that, of course, is brought to you by a couple of great sponsors. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. By Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. By First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. And by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. We'll talk more football, maybe, I guess, a little more detailed thoughts on Bears-Packers. And Kyle can tell you how excited he is about his Miami Dolphins. When we return, this is The Drive.
Join the Champaign Parks Foundation for a fun evening of food, socializing, and entertainment at the iHotel and Conference Center with Champaign Park District's Youth Scholarship Fund to benefit from the new Ties and Tennies Gala. It's coming up on Thursday, September 14th, and you'll enjoy dueling pianos, a plated dinner, complimentary wine and beer, live and silent auction, and featured speaker Team USA Paralympian sitting volleyball player Nicole Millage. Learn more details. Visit champagneparks.org.
Head to Merle Norman for your free gift with purchase. Shop now to receive a trial-sized eyeliner, makeup remover, flush lip liner, and a lip gloss. Available at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
Free with the purchase of two or more Merle Norman cosmetics products. Cosmetic accessories not included. Offer valid while supplies last at participating Merle Norman Cosmetic Studios only beginning September 1st, 2023. Limit one per customer. We reserve the right to modify the gift if needed. Not available at MerleNorman.com.
Here's what somebody recently said at Pards in Urbana. I was there just a few minutes and somebody came up and asked if I needed help. And they were incredible, helping me find the size of boot I needed. And then I bought a second pair, too. Everything was friendly. Everything was excellent. Visit Pards in Urbana, 206 North Maple, between Main and University in Urbana. It's Pards Western Shop since 1968. Or go online and visit Pards.com, Pards.com.
The Blossom Basket Florist has been in business since 1954. In the last 25 years, the Blossom Basket Florist has processed over 535,000 orders. That's 21,400 orders per year. With that type of volume, they know they have satisfied customers who just keep coming back. Find out why their customers love their designs and customer service. From simple to simply magnificent, they can design for any type of event. Visit them at 1002 North Cunningham in Urbana or online at blossombasket.com.
No matter what, it takes a great team to win. And in Fairbury, Aftershock Decals and Design wins consistently. And it's the all-star team that makes it happen. Do you have what it takes to be a part of this winning team? Aftershock Decals and Designs is recruiting. If you are looking to join this all-star team and you have 2 years of experience in either graphics design or wrap installations, we want you. AftershockDD.com/jobs. Aftershock Decals and Design is an equal opportunity employer. That's a wrap. Get noticed.
BC Bank, leading the way to your financial wellness. No matter where your financial journey begins, Pathways banking options at BC are designed with your goals in mind. BC Bank, building strong financial futures, one family, one street, one city at a time. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
When Ross went out, I always told him, be careful. And that was the last time I got to see him.
Because someone didn't slow down and move over. Ross had on a bright orange shirt with reflective stripes the night he was killed.
He always had that smile. He just lit up the room when he came in.
Slow down and move over when you see flashing lights. Everybody is somebody, somebody.
When you see lights flashing, use caution passing. Let's all go home safe tonight.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back in the drive at Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I started the show telling you how much I'm disappointed, depressed.
Yeah, my weekend, I feel a little bad because my weekend got kind of saved yesterday. But
I'm hurt,
for Bears
Kyle.
Fans out there, I feel for them.
I'm happy for you. Tyreek Hill is impossible to guard.
Yeah, I mean,
impossible.
He's the best player. He's the best football player that I've seen play for one of my favorite teams since I've watched football. He's unstoppable.
You know what's crazy? I mean, the Dolphins are doing this real innovative thing with him. They're throwing him the ball beyond 10 yards. The Bears haven't figured that out. Justin Fields, 3 pass attempts further than 10 yards, one including the one touchdown he threw to Darnell Mooney. Yesterday's game just took all the life out of me. Like, the last few years, I've had the apathy. I've put the armor on where I didn't let myself get hurt. You go back to the, I forget what year it was, but the NFC Championship game. Bears really good, hosting the NFC Championship game. Lovie Smith is a head coach. Number one, he loses the Packers in Week 17. That lets them in the playoffs. Then Aaron Rodgers and company come to Soldier Field. That was the game that Cutler gets hurt in the first half. And they beat you. They win their one Super Bowl with Rodgers. And then ever since then, it just seemed like the Packers have been back to owning the Bears. And that's continued, even now that Aaron Rodgers is about to make his start with the Jets tonight on Monday Night Football. Jordan Love was pretty good. I don't think he was special. I don't think he was spectacular, but he was pretty good. I mean, you gift wrapped him his first drive of the game where you run another dang tight end sneak. Like on third and one against one of the worst rush defenses in the NFL. You've got Justin Fields, who's dynamic with his legs, and you run a tight end sneak. Did you not watch the football games leading up? Did you not watch Thursday Night Football when the Chiefs tried to do it and it didn't work? Did you not watch the Illinois game? Probably you didn't, but it didn't work in that one. I had to see it again. It was just as underwhelming and useless as it was the first couple of times I saw it, and it was all downhill from there. The Bears' offensive line was terrible. The play calling was ridiculous. Fields did have some mistakes in there, including a pick six, but I need to go back to the Novocaine, Kyle. I don't want to feel anymore because feeling and being all revved up and 100% in on the Bears yesterday and to get beat 38-20 stung really, really, really bad.
Yeah, that was a rough one. And honestly, Jordan Love really didn't look all that good at all to me. From what I was watching, I had most of my focus on the Dolphins game, but I had the Bears on as well. And
he was okay.
He was fine. I mean, he managed the game well for them. He did what they asked. He took what the Bears were giving him. It was really just the Bears were terrible defensively. They were awful. I mean, I don't know. I know they made some additions in the offseason, especially in the linebacker room. They've got a young secondary that I thought would take a big step up, but they were uncompetitive against the Packers offense that I know they can run the ball. They're probably going to be one of the top running teams in the league. Aaron Jones is good. Packers offense is not, one of the top offenses in football, and they got whatever they wanted against the Bears. Me and Lon were breaking down this game, and he was buying in on the Bears, and I picked the Packers, but I thought it would be a competitive game. My concern was that I don't think the Bears did enough up front this offseason on the offensive line, on the defensive line. I thought the Packers would be able to run the ball. I thought the Bears would have a tough time running the ball. Bears had a tough time doing everything, but that did kind of come to show. But it's just, just like Illinois, it's one thing if – obviously, I'm sure you and every Bears fan out there were desperately wanting to win this game, thought it was a winnable game. It should have been a winnable game. But even if you play a really competitive, close rivalry game and wasn't close, again, just like Illinois, wasn't close, domination, you weren't competitive from the start, and that is that's tough.
It was pathetic. It was pathetic. Christian Watson wasn't playing their number one wide receiver, and they – like you said, are not a daunting task in terms of slowing down their offense. Shouldn't be, unless Love proves
especially
to be
in Love making his first. Well, it's not his first start technically, but it's really his first start. Like it's his first start as the Packers quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And Aaron Jones killed you in the receiving game. Dubs had what? Did he have two touchdown catches? Yeah, and one of those like the red zone fade that Love just perfectly placed in there was a really good throw. He had a couple of pretty good throws, but for the most part, it was just more about the Bears being that incompetent in terms of guarding people, in terms of getting pressure, And also on the offensive side, everything they did offensively was just a mess. And it was interesting, I think, kind of to open this up bigger picture, and we'll jump around to a couple of the storylines, like to see a decent amount of sloppy offense and some teams that didn't play their guys that much in preseason. The Bears got tricked, I think, into throwing two screen passes, one to DJ Moore and one to Khalil Herbert, that went for touchdowns in that preseason game. Was it against the Bills? I forget who it was against. But anyways, maybe it was the Titans. I think it was the Titans.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, cool. We don't have to throw it past the line of scrimmage. He's going to throw it to our playmakers, and that's our offense. Because Fields really didn't get much work in the preseason, and it looked like a team that just completely was not ready to play.
How concerned are you on the Fields front? Because to me, it looked like, again, it was a situation where, did he play well? No. Did he have a terrible pick six? Yes. The guy, again, it looked like last year. And the storyline was, he's got the help now. He's got the weapons. He's got more protection. Didn't look like that, because it looked like, A, weren't calling anything for him to show off his arm. B, no time, guy in his face within a second. I know there's a lot of Bears fans now that have kind of turned a little bit. Yes. Like, all right, we can't be making excuses for the third straight year. But as an unbiased watcher of that game, it felt a lot like last year. Like, what is this guy supposed to do at times? Because he was set up to fail yet again. And I thought that was going to be different this year. I thought he was really going to be put in a position to actually have success. And it feels still a little unfair to say, all right, well, he's not working out after he had no time. And the playbook was just so screen heavy and just didn't really showcase him.
I'm not going to say that he's not without fault. Like,
I'm not saying that either.
No, right. And there's some evidence on Twitter. There's some film clips where he checks down when he had time. Like, DJ Moore came open on a big, like a 15-yard out that he should have hit. There are things that he doesn't see and doesn't process that well, and he made a terrible decision throwing that pass to the Packers linebacker who picked it off and ran for a touchdown. You were trailing in that game at that point anyway. But the situation that they put him in just – flat out stinks, and it doesn't look like the offensive line, which was one of the worst units in the league last year, is much better. And that's a big fault of Ryan Poles for what he's trying to build offensively and try to put Fields in a good situation. DJ Moore essentially was the reason why he traded the number one pick to Carolina, so you could get DJ Moore. You targeted him three times. Like, That's a scheme thing. You got to be able to get him involved. You got to trust Fields to take shots down the field. But I don't know if that was an evidence of not trusting Fields or the fact that there were so many quick underneath throws that they don't trust this offensive line. And then also, they traded the first pick of the second round for Chase Claypool, uh-huh. And he's worthless. He's worthless.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of his, but I didn't expect him. I mean, he was a solid receiver with the Steelers at worst, and he's non-existent with the Bears, a team that needs weapons around their quarterback.
And if I don't have this off the top of my head, but AJ Brown probably went for like a second round pick. Stephon Diggs probably went for like a second round pick. Even DeAndre Hopkins, was he a free agent signing? He was. Yeah. The Cardinals ended up cutting him. It would be far better to go in any of those other routes than what Chase Claypool is doing right now. So there are some definite errors on Ryan Poles' early resume. And a 217 asks, Eberflus hot seat when I didn't like the hire when it was made at the forefront. I thought you should go with an offensive-minded coach to pair with your supposed-to-be franchise quarterback. Brian Daboll, they got just embarrassed last night by the Cowboys.
Imagine if the Bears hired Mike McDaniel.
I know.
Thank you for not doing that, although maybe the Dolphins would have gotten him anyway. But that's the perfect guy. I mean, he's bringing everything you want to bring out of Tua, and I know a very different style than Justin Fields, but I'd love to see that. A guy like him, a Daboll, or any offensive-minded head coach. It did feel so weird to me that the Bears, fresh off of taking Justin Fields, say, we're going to go with a defensive-minded head coach here. It's very rare to see that happen.
Especially, like, Daboll at the time was a hot name. I personally didn't know as much about Mike McDaniel. I obviously do now, because he's doing some really, really good things there in Miami. Now, they don't have Tyreek Hill or even, you know, Jaylen Waddle is a hell of a speedster as well. But, yeah, very frustrated. And I think at the end of this year, there'll be a lot of evaluation, hopefully not on Fields, although I think it's still something that is within the realm of possibility. And, yes, there are Bears fans out there that saying, let's stink this year and be in the Caleb Williams running, which I don't personally agree with and don't think will happen. But Fields still has a lot to prove. Eberflus will have to win this year or be on the hot seat, I think. And we'll go from there. But that was a very, very harsh dose of reality. And it's not an easy schedule. Going to Tampa, who had an upset win in Minneapolis. And then you got the Chiefs after that. So,
oh, boy.
We will talk more NFL as we go through the week. We do have to actually wrap up the show because we are off early for Cardinals baseball, of all things. Yay. Sorry.
Who they got tonight?
Not being a good company man there. Speaking of not good company man, I don't even know. I don't know.
That says it all right
there. There have been some Cubs fans weighing in. Was it a disappointing weekend? I was traveling back from Florida.
It was pretty disappointing. You lose 3 of 4 at Wrigley Field to the Diamondbacks, a team that's chasing you. You do salvage the last game of the series yesterday, and now Pete Crow Armstrong has gotten the call, Cubs top prospect, and is joining the team. So I'm pretty fired up about that.
The Cardinals have the Orioles in Baltimore. First pitch at 5:35. The pregame's going to kick in here in a few minutes. The Cubs in action tonight. They are in Colorado. Hear that on our sister station, 105.9.
That's a house of horrors. I hate playing at Coors Field. Some wacky stuff happens there.
All right, Kyle. We got to go. We got out the negative energy. I'm sure I'll still have some left tomorrow. We'll dive in deeper on the NFL and go around the league as we do throughout the season. Thanks to Jay Lehman for joining us. Thanks to Luke Altmaier for hopping on the phone line and giving us his thoughts after the Kansas game. And we'll break down Penn State throughout the week. Everybody have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow. This is The Drive.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
When you've got an emergency, call Dogtown Heating and Air. Whether it's HVAC repair, plumbing repair, or choosing a new system for your home, Dogtown is here for you. They're an independently owned Lennox dealer, and they offer financing and repair for all makes and models. They also offer a maintenance program to protect and prolong the life of your equipment. Open 24/7 for your needs. Call Dogtown Heating and Air at 217-841-4728. That's 841-4728. Online at dogtownheatingandair.com.
Did you know the Anita Purvis Nature Center is a home for live animals? Stop by the Nature Center. View the turtles, owls, snakes, and salamanders. These were orphaned or injured animals who wouldn't be able to survive in the wild, but they help educate the public at the Nature Center. Sponsor an educational animal for as little as $15 a month and make sure that animal has good food, housing, and medical care. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
Say goodbye to redness and hello to happy skin. Merle Norman's new Red Correct Treatment Primer is a science-based color care formula containing over 20 corrective ingredients that help calm and soothe sensitive skin. This is a multi-purpose facial primer that turns from green to beige when massaged into skin. Use it to help color correct red areas, decrease sensitivity, and prep skin for makeup application. Shop Red Correct Treatment Primer now at Merle Norman, 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get 5 bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. It's $5 for Blue Moon drafts and Jack Daniels drinks. Murder your thirst with Liquid Death water and CBD products. Pia's is the place to party, 1609 West Springfield Avenue in Champaign. When you're looking for a business to work with, you choose someone local, someone who's terrific at what they do, a company that helps others in need in Champaign-Urbana, and a company that stands behind what they do. That company is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors has been keeping the rain out for over 30 years. Randy and Tammy and their family work hard to not only make sure you're 100% satisfied by their work, but that they also strive to have a positive impact on Champaign-Urbana. Roof Doctors in Urbana.